Bibles, turn to Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 31 through 37. Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 31 through 37. Now, I read it a little different than what Brother Dominique read. Just hold your horses. But I'm going to read it a little different. I will read it in English. But just hold your horses. In Luke, the fourth chapter, verses 31, it says, "Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his words was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean spirit or unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying,
'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'
But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, he came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What a word this is. For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirit, and they came out. And the report about him went out in every place in the surrounding regions.'" I'm not sure if the devil sounds like that. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure he was not a pretty sight to see. But my brothers and sisters, Jesus, to give this some context, Jesus had just been baptized and then tempted by Satan. He overcame Satan, and after overcoming Satan, as it was the customs, he would go into the synagogues and read the word of God and teach the word of God there in Nazareth. And then he went down to Capernaum. He had started his Galilean ministry in reading and teaching in the synagogues. And the synagogues played a crucial role there in the Jewish life. It was a place where service was held every Sabbath. Hopefully in the future I can preach a message about the synagogue, because it played a pivotal role in the Jewish life of those back in the Old Testament. But my brothers and sisters, powerful, authoritative words and work, when awesomely demonstrated, it will either wow you or woe you. And what I want us to understand this morning is that Jesus was and is the authoritative woe factor in the physical world and in the supernatural world. Just hold your horses. My message this morning is, wow. Wow. The words, oh, the works of Jesus. It's just wow. I'm talking about when Pittsburgh beats Dallas, I go, woohoo, wow. And when Dallas beats Pittsburgh, I don't say wow. But at the same time, my brother, I'm just messing with Brother Carnell over there. But what I'm trying to say is that Jesus has authority. He has authority over the Sabbath, forgiveness of sin, the law of Moses, nature, unclean spirits, and the temple. Jesus' words and works were very powerful. In starting his ministry, he made sure to change the mindset and the cultural teaching of his day. It moved people mentally, emotionally, and at times people got angry, so much so as to kill them. Jesus' teaching either wowed you or woe you, because a lot of them wanted to kill him. A lot of them did die because they did not obey the principles and the teachings of Jesus. Because Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 10:34, he said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And what I want us to understand this morning in this lesson, my brothers and sisters, two things. They were astonished at his words, and they were amazed at his works or at his power. They were astonished at his words or teaching, and they were amazed at his work or power. They were astonished. This word astonished is a very interesting word. It comes from a Greek word means to struck, from the Latin word ex tonere. The word ex means out, and tonere means thunderstruck. It is to leave someone thunderstruck. They were dumbfounded. They were out of their senses. They never heard anything like it. My brothers and sisters, when you are in class and you hear some amazing mathematical equations or you hear how grammar is broken down, it will astonish your ears as to how things are done. When I was taking Greek and Hebrew, I was astonished at how my professor could break down Hebrew words and pronounce Hebrew words and pronounce Greek words, and it brought a different kind of view to the text. But my brothers and sisters, they were astonished because they hadn't heard anything like it. How did Jesus astonish them? Like he did on the Sermon on the Mount. When he finished the Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew, the 7th chapter, around about verses 30, 31, it says, when Jesus had finished, they were astonished. He spoke as one who had authority. Even the scribes could not speak like him. He spoke with authority from on high. He was the rabbi in John 1:38, as better known, the teacher. Jesus came with absolute truth. The scribes came with corrupt and evasive reasoning. Jesus came with inherent truth. They wasted their time with trivialities. Jesus came as a preaching and had a system to his preaching. They had the Talmud, which was a primary source of Jewish religion and theology, and they would ramble on and on and on. Jesus came talking about lifestyle and behavioral truths. They was very hypocritical. Jesus came with repentance and baptism. They came with other forms of salvation. Jesus' teaching was unique, practically powerful, profoundly and confoundly insightful. I cannot stress enough, my brothers and sisters, how important teaching is. We just don't come up with subjects on Wednesday nights or Sunday school just to facilitate time. We need the kind of teaching curriculum that will help our brothers and sisters grow and to face this world and to face things that are going on. There are things that are happening in your life, in my life, and if we don't have some Jesus and some Bible in our lives, we're going to be depressed, upset, angry, frustrated, resentful, because we have not put the word of God in our hearts. But our teachers must teach in a way where those who he or she are teaching knows the word, at least understand what they are saying. We need teachers who can make a difference. And I'm here to tell you, teaching is not easy. Can I get amen? Teaching is not easy. It's hard, especially trying to get information together on Wednesday night or whatever night the church meeting, Sunday morning, Sunday school, trying to get things together is not easy. But whatever we do, my brothers and sisters, we ought to astonish our members when it comes to understanding the word of God. But not only were they astonished, they were amazed at his work, at his power. The word amazed is to be bewildered, to be perplexed, to be lost in amaze. It is to be lost in amaze, to be stupefied, to be knocked unconscious. I'm talking about, my brothers, when they saw Jesus do what he did, they could not believe it. They were amazed. The demon showed up for worship. The demon had possessed one of the members. You see, demons are interesting. 23 times in this gospel, it shows about demons coming to confront Jesus, or Jesus confronting them. You see, demons are Satan's angels. They are unclean spirits. They are very knowledgeable. They can speak and they are fierce. And always remember, Satan never misses services. Satan never misses services. He was at church at Pergamos. It said that Satan had a seat there in the church. Satan has a seat here this morning. I can't see him. I don't know where he is, but I guarantee you he's scared of the word of God. Therefore, he can't touch any of us when we have God in us. Jesus amazed them by exorcising the demons with authority. Do y'all remember the Poltergeist movies? That lady comes out, little fat, stoopy-like lady comes out. I have exorcised the demons. I really love that phrase. I have exorcised the demons. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus did more than exorcise the demons. These demons knew what they were up against. They addressed him as if they knew him. Who are you?
Jesus of Nazareth. I know you are the Holy One that comes from heaven.
I bet that scared those folks, but it didn't scare Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus said, be quiet. In our English language, it would be shut up and come out of him. He used a Greek expletive. Now, you can't see this in verses 35. At least, verses 35 or verse 34. Yeah, you can't see it in verse 34, but in the Greek text, it's EA. It's like, ha, at Jesus. Ah, it's like an expletive. It was an interjection of anger and dismay. It's like when somebody coming repossess your car, you get upset with him and say a few things to him. You know, they knew what Jesus was going to do. They knew exactly what Jesus was going to do to them. At one time, they asked Jesus not to kill them, but put us in these herd. You remember the story about the hogs, the swine that went down the hill and killed? He said, put us in the swine, but don't kill us. Put us in the swine. And about 2,000 swines or more went going running down the hill. You know, and there's a lesson in that too. The reason why those hogs lost their minds is because they didn't have a defense mechanism in them. You see, when Satan get a hold of us, we have a little bit of sense. We know how to act. But those hogs didn't have a defense. Therefore, they killed themselves because that's what demons do. But my brothers and sisters, they got upset with Jesus. It's like, what business do you have with us? But Jesus rebuked him, basically said to them, shut up and come out of him. And about my brothers and sisters, you know, when you understand the Greek text a little more, it makes it more interesting. They got so upset, it said that they went shrieking out. You know, you remember how the teacher used to take their hands and go across the board, screech, and we just draw up, you know. That's the way they sounded when they came out of the member there in the synagogue. They came out like, what you trying to do? Get out of here. I'm talking about my brothers and sisters. They did not know the power, the true power of Jesus. But Jesus sits on the throne, doesn't he? Jesus knew what he was talking about. They were so shocked. The members there at Capernaum seeing this, they were amazed. You see, amazing is when your child bring home C's and D's. But 6 weeks later, they bring home all A's. That's amazing. Matter of fact, it'll knock you off your feet. You be saying, well, son, let me go take you out to dinner. Let me go take mom and everybody out to dinner. Let me go take the neighbors out to dinner. Amazing is when your mom always get on to you about cleaning up your room. Now, you may straighten up your room, but there's a difference between straightening up and cleaning your room. Straighten up means you may throw all your clothes in the closet and throw all your shoes under the bed, but when you clean, you go in there with some end dust. You go in there with some pine saw, because I'm pretty sure them pizzas are molded underneath the bed. But when you go in your child's room and it's clean and it's spotless, that's amazing. You know what would be amazing? If we just pray to God that we could take this whole corner, instead of moving, but take this whole corner as the church grows, to take this whole corner for the Lord. That would be amazing. All I'm saying is that the Bible says, they said, what a word is this? Mark says, what is this? What new doctrine are they bringing to us? My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, we need that wow factor in our lives, in our church. What is the difference between being astonished and amazed? Although the two words can be used synonymously, astonished is what they heard. Being amazed is what they saw. Let me say that again. Being astonished is what they heard. Being amazed is what they saw. We need a renewed makeover and respect for the powerful word and work of Jesus. We need that wow effect as Jesus had on those of his day. Satan is still busy, but Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and Satan on the cross. And Satan does have his minions. He does have his angels. He does have his cohorts. But they are defeated, my brothers and sisters. We need to present and articulate the word of God in a way that shows that authoritative wow factor when we have discussions. I've had discussions all of my life with people of different denominations, even people in the church, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes you got to go a little deep with them when it comes to the word of God. You got to show how Jesus talked to them. See, Jesus didn't have the screens that we have. He didn't have the DVD players and different things. And we know that, when we understand that being in the first century. But Jesus illustrated through parables, storytelling, miracles, signs, and wonders to teach a powerful lesson about who he was and what his whole idea coming from heaven to earth to show that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you and I, my brothers and sisters, show Satan what truth is all about, he will run every time. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and what? He will flee you. We might not be able to do miracles. We might not be able to do a lot of things. But when we teach and preach the word of God, Satan cannot stand it. When we understand what the word of God has to say, we can never go wrong teaching and preaching the word of God. We've got to have that wow factor in our teaching. We got to have that wow factor in our works. And my brothers and sisters, as I said, we may not be able to heal folk, but we can tell them what Jesus can do. Jesus can heal you of your anxieties. He can heal you of your anger. He can heal your marriage. He can get you another job. He can get you another car. He can get you anything you want if we be obedient to him. We need the wow factor in our lives and in our churches. My brother says, I invited some folk to come this morning. They wasn't able to come, I guess. But even though in this pandemic, even though with COVID going on, we still need to let folk know what thus saith the Lord. Because one day, it will not be like this. One day, we will not see the rain. We don't have to worry about the sun because we have the Son of God. You've heard the word this morning. Did you really hear it? Jesus walked into the synagogue and read from the book of Isaiah. Then he sat down. They said they were amazed at his teachings. But then someone said, of course, you know, you got to have that negative person. Isn't this Joseph's son? How in the world can a carpenter talk like that? There are folks who think that people who live in the project, that they're not smart. There are some smart folk that have come out of foster care. And the project, as we call it, and who've gone on to Harvard. I was looking at this movie on Bounce about, I think it's called Life, Make Life Changes or Change a Life or something like that. I'm not sure what the title was, but it talked about how this kid was abused. Make a long story short, this kid went on to Boston College. He found his biological family, and he went on to Boston College, got married, and had two or three children. I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, when you believe in Jesus, when you believe in God, he can take you and bring you through any situation that you're going through. Believe what the word of God says. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And by being baptized into him, you are a new creation in Christ. I don't care how your past life was. I don't care what you've done in your life. Jesus can take away all of your sins. For us who are members of the church, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Every time I read the word of God, it convicts me. Every time I read the word of God, it's like the old Arsenio Hall back in the day. Because it's so powerful. It moves me to tears sometimes. It moves me to change my life, to change my thinking. Because my brothers and sisters, Satan is busy. I'm talking about, do you ever catch yourself wondering about some crazy stuff? And I'll say, where did that come from? I'm talking about the mind is something else. Sometimes when people cut you off or people talk bad at you, you want to say some things back at them. And sometimes when you hit your toe, you want to say things. And sometimes you have to catch yourself. But I'm telling you, when you have some Jesus, sometimes when you hit that toe, you may have to say, in the name, the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, toe, right now. We all going through something. But boy, when we hear the word of God, I'm talking about, we're not just reading because it's some kind of pastime favorite. We read because we want to change our lives. And when you hear about Jesus changing the lives of those demons, at least changing the lives of that man that the demon came, because see, you notice throughout the scriptures, Jesus is never trying to save Satan. He's never trying to save the angels. Y'all heard me say this many a times. When Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Because he will never be saved. And guess what? Now, don't think that this is anonymous now. Guess what? He was an angel. Can you imagine that? He was an angel. And I think y'all know his name. It wasn't Lucius. It's Lucifer. But you'd be amazed when I tell people my name. Oh, your name is Lucifer. It makes me want to fight sometimes. What you talking about, brother? Come here. Hey, hold it. Let me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But he was an angel. But he lost his salvation. But we have more than a choice, my brothers and sisters. We have a reality, because once we are baptized into Jesus, he washed away all of our sins. And we can walk in the newness of life. Where do you stand this morning? Where is your heart this morning? Can Jesus wow you this morning? Can Jesus wow you every day of your life until the day you die? I think I can go with the wow factor with Jesus. Think about this as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Let us all stand.